Hi there, you're listening to the Kingdom Sexuality Podcast. We're Alana, Kyle, and Tira, friends who have a heart for intimacy and long to uncover God's truth and design for sexual freedom within marriage. If you enjoy listening to our episodes or like our content over on Instagram, would you consider leaving a review or subscribing? It really helps. Welcome here. Welcome back to another episode of the Kingdom Sexuality Podcast. Today we're doing something a little bit differently, and we are sharing an episode that we were on the Purpose Podcast with Rachel and her husband, Zach. The conversation was just so fantastic that we wanted to share it here with you guys today. So some of the things we chatted about were like hindrances to intimacy in marriage and misconceptions people have around sex, and how to seek healing if there was brokenness or is brokenness in your sexual relationship. So we're so excited for you guys to tune in and listen to this conversation. It is just fantastic and full of so much good stuff. So can't wait for you guys to listen and let us know what you think.
Welcome to the Purpose Podcast. My name is Rachel. I'm here with my husband, Zach, and we have some amazing friends who have joined us here today that we can't wait to introduce to you. Today's going to get a little spicy.
It should.
We are pumped to bring a conversation into like the town hall, I guess, experience of a podcast in the church. Yeah. So something that sometimes we just really struggle talking about, but anything that God has created, He has set up for us to enjoy, and He has set up some things for us to partner with and experience the goodness of God and within marriage in particular, and that would be sex.
That's right. And so that it may feel off course for our purpose, but we really just don't believe that's true. So your purpose is to win your world. And so, and again, like Rachel said, we want to walk in all the gifts that God's given us. And if you are married, one of the gifts that God has given you is sex. And so we know some people, we probably should put this before we start throwing that around, that we know some of you guys listen to this in the car, maybe your kids are around or things like that. Whoops. And so just know that that's the topic for today. Even if you are single, if you are engaged, and hey, what does the Word of God, what does the Kingdom of God have to say about sex? We're going to process that and cover that. And so just to have another voice other than what the world has to say, what does the Word of God have to say? And so, but again, we're not going to do this alone. We have experts, really. Right.
They're coming, the up and coming experts.
I'll be honest, I love my job, but I never get referred to as an expert in that category. So I'm a little bummed about that. But would you tell about who's with us?
Yes, so we have with us Kingdom Sexuality, a ministry based out of Canada, and they are gonna take some time just to share with us a little bit about who they are, and then we're gonna dialogue over a couple of different questions that people tend to have when it comes to sex and being married. So we want to take a second, and Kingdom Sexuality, which is three different voices now, would you guys just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about where you came from?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Alana, and I'm here with Tira and Kyle. So Kingdom Sexuality began back in 2020, and it was just, I had had a baby, and I was in this season of healing from that. And I was like, okay, once we can be intimate again, how can we take this to the next level and make this something that is just more pleasurable, more enjoyable? Cause I was having conversations with friends and they're like, oh yeah, we're like working on multiple orgasms and things like that. And I was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? How can I have this, etc. And so, I just was digging into resources, Christian, non-Christian, just trying to find out what I could and just become a sponge. And, over time, it just was such a passion of my heart. And I was like, what does this look like? How do I go from here? Like, is this like something in my local church that I pursue? Is this something, you know, that weird moment where like, what do I do with this passion that I have? And like, how do I channel it well? Because you can't just start talking about sex, you know, with anybody and everybody, right?
You're, so I wanted to be tactful. You're saying that it didn't fit neatly inside of the normal ministries at your church?
Well, yeah, it was just like, here's a sex club.
Yeah, I'm talking about it every Wednesday night.
Yeah, so you could do a book club, you could do whatever, but yeah, I just didn't know. And a friend had reached out, and she was actually having some similar passions in her heart. And then from there, we ended up having a Zoom call, and she was in a different province than myself. And then the podcast was started from there, just as like a place of, hey, we're also learning and growing, but we want to help equip couples to find freedom that God intended for marriage and for sex. So that's kind of where everything began.
Well, I love that. I think just to stop for just a second and just to highlight something, you know, we're always talking about how God does have, well, all of our purpose, if you're a Christian, is to win your world with the gospel. But God has given us all very unique passions and gifts and things like that. So I think what a great just opportunity, because I'm sure there's people listening or watching who, how could God use this passion I have? And so for you to be faithful and continue, and again, something that I'm sure a lot of well-meaning Christians said, hey, this is, you can't or shouldn't talk about this. Or I just love the faithfulness to find a ministry and an outlet for the passion that God put in your heart. And so I just hope that everybody listening, you know, or watching would just take an inventory. Is there a passion or purpose that God wants to use for me to win my world? And it's a fun one. So, we're all about it. I love it.
And you guys have like a really unique dynamic. And I know that your ministry over the last 3 years has shifted and grown, right? Everything, there's a season for everything. And in this season, you guys have done a really great job of bringing different perspectives and voices to the table. Because a lot of times when I'm looking for resources about sex, it's like, it's always gender specific. There's women, it's like either women are just talking or men are just talking, and you don't get to hear both sides at the table together. And there's all these misconceptions that we have because we're siloed. And so to find a way that, and you guys have worked to be intentional to protect your marriages and to honor each other, but then to also honor what God's laid out in front of you. So with that in mind, I think we would really just love to hear some, just like your insight and some of the things that you've learned. We'd love to just kind of, you guys do a thing on Thursday. I think it's every Thursday. We do like the question thing. And you guys, you filter through some questions. It's, if you're not following them on Instagram, just give them a follow for Thursdays alone.
What's before? Yeah, let's ease some people in.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just telling you, it's very entertaining.
Okay, so how about this? How about this? What do you see as the biggest hindrance to intimacy in marriage? As you guys are having these conversations, people are sending in questions. What is the biggest hindrance that you guys are seeing in that space?
Well, I think, one of the biggest ones is just the lack of communication. So kind of like how you were saying, you know, we're siloed in the church, our topics, you know, you're always with men, always with women. And then when you're in marriage, it's a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. And now you need to come together and learn how to talk about it. And, you know, we've been told that, you know, sex is such a, you know, quiet, intimate thing that you don't share. And now all of a sudden you are with a spouse that you need to share with, and you need to be vulnerable in like what you like and what you don't like and what your expectations are. And so I think like one of the biggest things that we cover in almost every single episode is like communication. You need to talk about it. Talking about it is when it opens up and it becomes a time of building and learning about each other, and and also bringing God into that conversation as well.
I think especially too, coming from like, depending on where you come from and how you were raised, the whole like purity culture, coming out of that and going into your marriage where you've had this resounding belief that sex is bad and dirty and wrong because you don't talk about it, don't do it, because then you might accidentally have sex before you're married. And then you do get married and you're like, okay, well, how do we try and flip the switch to that it's good and beautiful and something that God intends for like a married couple to enjoy together. And so that's a really big hindrance, I think, as well. And then involves communication because, yeah, you don't know what you like because you've never looked down there to know what your body looks like because you were told don't look, don't touch, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so you're left feeling really confused and like, okay, well, I want to be turned on or I want to be aroused with my husband, but I don't know how to get there in my mind. So I think overall, yes, communication is just one of the biggest umbrellas of then everything else.
Yeah, that's huge. Kyle, is there anything that you would add to that from your perspective?
Yeah, for sure. One of the biggest things that we get as a ministry is couples saying one of us has found out the other one has been struggling with porn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And pornography is the biggest thing right now affecting marriages in our experience. This is a huge part of my story. I've shared it in detail. My wife shared it in detail on our podcast, but basically from elementary school till 2021, this was like a massive struggle in my life until my wife finally said, "You need help." And so I went through coaching and therapy and group counseling and all that stuff. And thankfully I've had hundreds of days of freedom now, but this is something that can and is destroying marriages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I could agree. I was actually going to bring it up, so I'm so glad that you did. I had a really a big issue being addicted to porn growing up as well, and so we counsel people on a regular basis. It's huge, and I don't know if the studies included Canada or not. When I used to lead student ministry, the last time I read, the average age a kid is seeing porn now is 8. And so like it's significant. And so there's going to be some men and women listening to this who are either right in the middle of it or need to be equipped to help other people live in freedom from pornography. Because I agree. I think it's one of the biggest ploys from the enemy towards intimacy, sexuality, identity across the board. Mm-hmm. And so I know you mentioned a couple of things you did there, Kyle, but if you would just say, hey, what's a number one tool that you would say if you're going to do one thing to start to walk in freedom from pornography, what would that be?
Confession. Confess it to a brother or a trusted person. If you're married, confess it to your spouse. Get it out in the open because when it's in the darkness, that's when the enemy uses it to his advantage the most. But get it out into the light would be the biggest thing.
Yeah.
That's so good.
I totally agree. And hey, I want to go back to something that we're familiar with because when I say we, all of us, because the five of us, this is a passion for ours. We've grown up in this space a little bit, but I'm going to mess it up. I'm so sorry. Atlanta?
Atlanta?
Yep. Okay. I'm thinking Hotlanta, Atlanta in my head. Hotlanta like the city. I'm not either way. Moving past it. It's what we call Atlanta.
Appreciate it.
But that's right. So you mentioned purity culture. And so now the thought that there's anything negative with purity culture sounds like an oxymoron. But just because I know some people on here that I love and their parents and their kids are in high school or college. And it's like, well, dadgum purity culture signed my kid up twice. Like I'm down to clown for that. Right. But however we know, and even me, like somebody, like I lost my virginity at 13 and some of this stuff, like some of the things I wish were different. But I don't think that like, and again, I know you referenced it a little bit and the whole podcast isn't about that, but the purity culture really went almost too far to one side, right? And so let's just talk just a little bit about, and I think communication is probably the biggest thing to get us in an appropriate middle spot with whether you're a student yourself or you have kids or students, whatever the situation might be. But what would it mean that purity culture has gone too far? And then how can we get to a healthier middle?
That's a great question. I think you're right. I think purity culture was really, really well-meaning. Like it had very good intentions, obviously. But I think when people, they shared like images of like, if you have sex before you're married, you're like a chewed up piece of gum and you're never going to be the same. Mm-hmm. Or it's like you, those things where you pass the rose around and at the end, the rose comes back over the front. This rose is never going to be the same as what it was. And you just think of the shame that that's putting on people who have slipped up and have gone too far, or, and then they feel like they're not pure anymore. And so it's like, well, screw it. Like, I can't live up to those standards. Right. And like, so I think that's the part that to me was maybe over the top, where it's less focusing on, okay, how can we honor God with our bodies, and how can we have accountability with people around us and mentors to help, you know, guide us in these conversations that we can share our struggles with as like young adults or, you know, young people growing up, versus sharing these like images that are then making people feel, yeah, like they're never going to measure up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think too, it period culture focused so much on the negative, right? Mm-hmm. I never remember growing up hearing sex is a good thing, right? Sex is from God. It is a gift. When you get married, it's going to be awesome. It was only talked about up until marriage as a bad thing, right? Right. Don't do it. You know, it's a big sin if you do it. Mm-hmm. No one ever said how amazing it can be once you're married, and that saving yourself for marriage won't guarantee it.
Yeah.
Is going to be perfect, which is something we can talk about later, mm-hmm. but that it is a gift to be saved for marriage, and a good gift.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's all, I think one of the things, you know, you said, you talked about helping to bring it back to the middle, is reminding ourselves and teaching on like the restoration of Christ, like what the reconciliation that the cross provides for us, not just to the Lord, but also mm-hmm. to each other. And so, you know, knowing, hey, Zach didn't, I was a virgin until I got married, and knowing like our history was different, we had this conversation. I'll never forget it, like we're in the car and we were having this conversation before we got married, and he said, hey, I wish I could give that to you. And I was like, hey, you know, has the Lord redeemed you and restored you? Has God forgiven you? Well, I forgive you, and that's where we are. That's where we stand, is in, there's enough grace and there's enough forgiveness. Grace doesn't give us a license to sin, but boy, yeah. oh boy, yeah. I need the grace and the mercy of the cross every day in yeah. all places of my life. And he can redeem and restore anything and make anything yeah. beautiful.
That's right.
And so I think yeah. if we're talking about, hey, how do we bring back sex to a healthy part of the conversation, premarital and post, right? There is enough grace and forgiveness in the cross to redeem and restore yeah. anything.
That's right. And I think we have a bad habit of any time, because we just have this cancer of comparison going on inside of us, that any time we want to make something look good or bad, we have to compare it. And so, you know, oh, like sex or this, it's bad, you know, like the rose or the gum or whatever it might be. But just talking about it, like how God's designed it, which is inside of the confines of marriage, it's great. And that's enough. Like it's enough to say, hey, now there are some things with soul ties and things like that. I think there are some warnings if you do use, like just like any gift that you use that God designed outside of his design, there are repercussions. And I don't think that we shy away from those at all. But I do, we're going to encourage people, which is going to be one of the most cringy things they've ever done in their life. But we're going to encourage parents to listen to this with their college student or their high school student, you know, it just to help start this conversation, because, you know, I think because of that stat about pornography, one of the things our student pastors say, if you wait till 8, it's too late. And we believe in the power of the first narrative. And so we do not want someone on the bus mm-hmm. or a post or something like that setting the narrative about this gift from God, yeah. you know, that is sex. And so that's great insight. So what about this? Just with the questions you guys are getting and the conversations you're having, what are some misconceptions that people carry? And I think we probably talked a little bit about it with the purity culture, but what are some misconceptions people carry about sex?
Yeah, I'd say, like we just kind of talked about, that sex can't be had for pleasure. I think people kind of come in, it's like we consummate the marriage and then we have sex when we're ready to have babies. And or people have regular sex, but they don't have the mindset that this can be just a God glorifying thing by us having this amazing pleasure. Pastor in my church, he always says, like, you know, if an orgasm is the peak of pleasure on earth, it's just a pointer to heaven. And I love that because, you know, I think sex can be glorifying to God because God does want to see us have pleasure. He does want to see us have joy. And sex is one of those ways that we can honor each other, honor the covenant, and glorify God.
Yeah. And I think along with that, like, that comes with purity culture too, is that receiving pleasure as a woman, I think, is one of the biggest things. You know, we're told, you know, you'll have to do it. You know, your husband needs it. So make sure you are always available, you know, otherwise he'll go to porn or he might have an affair. And so the act of sex is more like, oh yeah, this is my marital duty.
Yeah.
I will be here. And yeah, it might be okay, but she's not receiving pleasure. She's not intentionally, okay, this is something that mm-hmm. feels good. That
this is what I need.
This is what I need. Yeah. It's just the misconception of it's the man who needs sex. Mm-hmm. Like that's mm-hmm. even in normal culture, like not even in Christian culture too. You know, if you see on sitcoms, once they're married, it's the man who wants the sex, who's right. begging the wife, come on. And yeah. the wife goes, no, I'm too tired. Like it, yeah. there is nothing that drives us to be like, oh yeah, the wife and the mom need sex. Mm. You know, if we see that, that's like, whoa, that's abnormal. Yeah. And it shouldn't be like that yeah. narrative. Both men and women should receive pleasure in sex, and it should be a need within a marriage for both parties, not just one.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the things that it's sad. Like when I'm talking to married couples and they're really struggling and we start to ask questions about, hey, talk to me about what your sex life looks like. And because women have been fed this narrative that, hey, you know, you're just, or lack thereof, like you're not going to enjoy it. And then there's mm-hmm. this deception. It's crazy. Netflix was like feeding me a show. It was like, hey, you should watch this show about these women who are in the middle of, like, they're miserable in their marriages. And what the show basically communicates is, hey, if you have sex outside of your marriage with other men, that's where you're going to start to get satisfaction because your husband isn't a place yeah. where you could receive satisfaction. There's something wrong with marriage. And so it's marriage that's the problem with bringing satisfaction in sex. Women are actually, your satisfaction is outside of marriage. So you should go party and go enjoy. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is crazy, you know? And it's heart-wrenching that there's this deception that we're buying, both men and women, that satisfaction mm-hmm. can't be found inside your marriage. This beautiful mm-hmm. covenant that God created. Mm. And there's this peace that we do desire, men and women both, and that the only way to find it is outside of marriage now.
Yeah.
Mm. What would you say if you say, hey, if you're in your marriage and hey, you're just not, this is not a pleasurable thing. Like it's a part of your marriage that has become, it's been a duty for a long time. Or, hey, my spouse doesn't pursue me. Or, you know I'm not pursuing my spouse. I was having a conversation with a friend the other night and I said, hey, like, you know, your husband wants to be pursued too. Mm-hmm. You know, just like you want to be wanted, he wants to be wanted. You know, what would you say, what would be a recommendation or encouragement you would give to someone if that's where they're sitting at in their marriage today?
I think we need to change, like Tira was saying, I think we need to start by changing our beliefs around sex. You need to mm-hmm. change your belief that it is for both of you equally. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge start. Because another thing is, like going back to the misconceptions, I think I knew nothing about the female orgasm coming into marriage. I just assumed that we're going to have sex and we're both going to orgasm at the exact same time and fireworks are going to go off.
I didn't know that
wasn't how it happened, right? And I didn't know that, like, for most women, they're not going to orgasm with penetration, right? It's going to be mm-hmm. clitoral stimulation or stimulation elsewhere. Like, those are other things. So I think we need to educate and inform ourselves mm-hmm. to the point that we have this belief of what is sex actually like in marriage? What does the Bible actually say about marriage? What does God actually intend for sex in marriage? So I think it all starts with going back to the word. What does God say that sex is for, who is it for, and how can we honor each other in that?
So just so you guys know, there are, I'm just thinking about, because something you just said, Kyle, I, on Sunday morning before I preach, there's a group of guys that I sit down with and we pray. And some of them are older, you know, they're going to be my dad's age or my grandfather's age. And they usually bring stuff up about the podcast. And I can't imagine that clitoral stimulation is not going to be something that's brought up. And I'm going to have to try to put that in my mind before I preach. And Kyle, will I blame you for that specifically? I will.
I'll take it.
He'll take it as long as the conversation gets on the table, man.
There you go. So, but something that we always say from a misconception perspective is, especially when we were doing students and stuff like that, we would talk about porn and princesses. And we all have an outlook on romance, relationships, which includes sex. And if you grow up watching porn and that is your education around it, then you have a very, like, how a woman performs, like, the foreplay or lack thereof leading up. Like, this is how, and I think that's part of the reason why stopping looking at porn is such a challenge. But then on the other side, even though, like, it's way more accepted and is what, for a lot of, young ladies, you know, this princess mindset that, hey, like, this should be done, like, all the things around it, I should be pursued, like there should be chocolates and roses and dates and, like, if, you know, and so we try to tear that down. Again, going back, I think communication will, something we'll continually come back to, but, you know, I think it is important, even when you think about, like, the lies that you believe about yourself, we think it's important to go back and, hey, when did you pick up this lie? If you think you're dumb or lazy or not pretty or whatever, going back, like, when did, what made me believe that? And so for people, you know, listen to this, if you think, like, that sex is supposed to be this way and it hasn't turned out that way or something, you know, there's even a conviction of the Holy Spirit during our conversation so far, you know, just going back and asking, why is that? You know, if I think that Rachel should pursue me, you know, and I should just be able to, I've worked all day, I'm tired, whatever, she should really not just pursue me, but do all the work. Why do I think that? You know, I think that because of how I looked at porn growing up. And, like, even though I wish it wasn't the case, like, a lot of my feelings around it or these things around it, that's what created, you know, that's what really set the oculus mentis, the mind's eye around it. And so, again, I think from a misconception perspective, like, it's a big deal.
Yeah, well, what's educating me about sex? And I think it's fair. The church needs to have this conversation because it's this beautiful thing that God created. And more than likely, it is sources and things outside of God's word that's informing us about what sex is and what it's designed for. And it's no wonder that we come out with all these misconceptions, because Disney has set us up one way for women and pornography, another way for men. And now women, honestly, as well, the statistics of addiction to pornography in women is increasing dramatically. So obviously there are these needs and desires that we have, and because we've been educated from the wrong place first, we're finding ourselves lost and damaging, experiencing just heartache and brokenness because we're using this beautiful thing outside of its design.
So for you guys, again, as people are just processing where they're at, how can couples begin to seek healing if there is brokenness in the sexual aspect of their relationship? What are some steps that we can take towards healing and towards, again, God's restoration and experiencing sex how God intended? What are some ways that we could step towards healing?
I feel like mentorship is a huge, would be a huge help in part of that. Like, to find someone who, like, no matter where you're at in your journey, whether it's like you are dating or you're engaged or you're newly married or you've been married for a long time, to have someone, if you're like, just to come alongside you and be like, hey, this is where we're at. This is what we're struggling with. But then more so, depending on kind of what's going on in your life, I would recommend counseling as well, like, to get outside help And to realize that there's no shame in that, like it's yeah. you're doing your marriage a betterment by doing that, by setting it up now versus like waiting the 10 years and looking back and be like, oh, we should have just done it then or else, yeah. you know? So yeah. I think those are some first steps that would be helpful.
And I think like not to toot our own horn, but like yeah. following us,
finding resources.
Finding resources, you know, like we come up with, Alana comes up with great, you know, connect questions and things to start talking about things. You know, often in our episodes, we even say, you know, like if this is something you want to speak with your spouse about, tell them to go listen to this podcast, like to this episode and say, mm-hmm. this is something I want to chat about mm-hmm. after, you know, like just opening up the doors again of communication and and finding good resources that feel good. Challenging feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to quickly go back to the mentorship thing because I think a lot of people love the idea of mentorship and have no idea how to start it.
Right.
And so I want to encourage everyone listening, if you want a mentor, find someone in your church that you look up to mm-hmm. and just be bold.
Yeah.
Like I was at a men's night at my church and they brought this guy up to speak and I'd seen him around church before. And he spoke about kind of like the disciplines of his life. And I'm like, I want that. And so as soon as he finished, I went up to him and said, hey, I love what you said. Will you mentor me? And he said, yes. And we've got a great mentorship now. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to do that, right? It took me a long time that night to even go up there. I was ready to leave. And like, Holy Spirit convicted me like, hey, no, that's the guy you need. Mm-hmm. Go do it. Go be brave. Go be bold. So it does take stepping out in faith, in boldness mm-hmm. to seek that. And I think it is super, super important.
Yeah. The same thing happened to me. I was feeling like, okay, I need a lady to mentor. And I'd gone to a women's conference thing and I prayed about it. I was like, oh God, who's like highlight the person. And it was the pastor's wife. And she was speaking. I'm like, oh, no way she'll have time for me. Like she doesn't even know who I am. And yeah, that Holy Spirit convicted. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll go ask her. And yeah, she said, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, so yeah, definitely pray about who, like highlight the person mm-hmm. And then be bold and step into that.
Another thing too, is I think just starting anywhere is to begin to pray, like mm-hmm. just start praying over your marriage and over your sex life.
Yeah.
Cause I think there's a big disconnect for people to be able to like, to pray over their sex life and, mm-hmm. and ask the Lord to bless it and to breathe life into your marriage. And so I think even that as like a baseline step, you want to start somewhere, just start mm-hmm. praying and waiting expectantly for the Lord to move in your marriage.
Yeah. I didn't know how you were going to answer, but I think the mentorship, I just couldn't echo that more. And I bet it's the same in different ways, but it's the same for men and women. That this is supposed to be private, you know, and that is one mm-hmm. of the enemy's best lies that he's whispered in the last 100 years. He's done it with our faith, you know, like you don't share that you're a Christian or the gospel or whatever. Hey, faith, you know, faith is private, which is not biblical. You know, it's not right. Actually, how much do you have to not really care for somebody to not share about heaven and hell with them? It's a big stinking deal. But the same thing with, you know, like your sex life. And whenever we mentor people, I'm telling you, whenever we'll ask, if you ask somebody, and there's a lot of people on here listening and probably similar for your audience, but for us, a lot of people who are taking time to listen to this, like there's a certain level of maturity to their walk with the Lord, for them to take time to, you know, to discover their purpose and to pursue it and to win their world. And so I always like to, let's not just talk about the people who are on the struggle bus, but I really think it's important to talk to these like mature people. I'm telling you, like whenever you ask, at least I can speak from the man side, like if you ask another man, hey, how's your time in the Word? How's your time in prayer? And if they're married, how's your sex life? And does it suck the air out of the booth sometimes? 100%. But like, it's those people that care the most about you. Everybody asks how my day's going. Like the my waiter or waitress asks how my day's going. Like that doesn't show that you love me. That just shows that you have some semblance of like EQ. Yeah. Like you're like that you didn't want it to be awkward. But the people who really love us yeah. are the people who are pursue some awkwardness. And so if you're a godly man or if you're a godly woman and you care about other people living in God's fullness, I just want to encourage you. So like what you guys said, to look for mentoring, I want to flip the script on our audiences that we would look for somebody that we could mentor.
Yeah, especially if you're walking in victory.
100%.
I mean, that's one of the things we love to do is, you know, Zach's experience with pornography and all of that, it's I talk to a lot of wives. Hey, how do I love my husband in this? How do I'm broken and I'm hurting. And so if you've experienced something in your marriage, especially you're walking in freedom in your sex life, to withhold from others like what it is to walk in victory, man, like mm-hmm. This is why Jesus said you're not doing life alone. Like, yeah. you know, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And so linking arms with someone and encouraging them and helping to give them practical advice, it may not even be exactly what they need, but working together to find resources and praying over somebody and with somebody. Boy, I'm grateful for the people who loved me enough to pray with me over the broken places of my life. Now that I'm walking in victory, I can help somebody else find their way out of the wilderness too.
That's right. And a practical thing, and you guys, if y'all haven't talked about this, I think this would be huge for what you do. But when we do marriage counseling and stuff, Rachel always, they'll know who they are when they listen to this, but we just finished up some marriage counseling, you know, yesterday, and she told the young lady, hey, you and I are going to go get coffee. I know exactly what they're going. You know, they're going to go to Fantasy World. They're going to talk about lube and some different things that makes everybody cringe. But somebody because again, like y'all said, if it's in the dark, the devil owns it. Yeah. And this is such a gift. And you guys will love this. This is just a snapshot into our culture. My dad was our senior pastor before me. And we would do weekends where we did the, like where people sent in questions, kind of what you guys do on Thursday. And you've probably had this question asked to you, but
they have, yes.
Somebody sent in like, what's off? And my dad, this was off the cuff. It's live questions. And somebody sent the question, what's off, like what's out of bounds? What's off limits in the bedroom? And my dad said, probably in the 28 years of pastoring this church, probably the top five thing that's remembered, he said, listen guys, three P's, no pets, no porn, no other people. And that's it. That's the only rules.
If y'all
there
are down for it, you do it, man.
Yeah. Yes.
That's awesome. That's a simple way to answer it.
Yes. No, so when Rachel said a cord of three strands is easily broken, I was like, hey, you know, listen, that's biblically, not in the bedroom. So no pets, no porn, no people.
That's so fun. Hey, would you guys, if you said, hey, this is something right now as you, what is it that you're just seeing over and over collectively in trends right now, the questions people are asking or the greatest place you're just, they are coming and they're pursuing you guys and saying, hey, here's what I'd love to hear more about, or here's where we're looking to walk in victory. Mm-hmm. What would you say, what area of sex would you say is that people are kind of looking for guidance in the most? And then maybe a resource for it. That wasn't on the list, but I was just, sorry.
The first thing that comes to mind for me just goes right back to the porn.
Yeah.
Right? Porn recovery, I think getting that out of your marriage, if it's in your marriage, is going to be the biggest thing to turn your sex life around. So, and wives, if you're listening and you've never had that conversation with your husband, or you have no idea if he's ever struggled, I think you're totally within your rights to ask him. Just say, hey, you know, we've never really talked about this. Has this ever been a struggle for you? Mm-hmm. And I mean, hopefully he says no and you believe him. But if he says yes, then, you know, you've got some work to do. And I encourage you to seek out the resources that are necessary to do the work. You know, reach out to your pastor, reach out to a counselor. But porn is by far the biggest thing that we get messages about. Mm-hmm. We have a Facebook group for all of our listeners, and we stopped taking questions on mm-hmm. porn in the group because there's so many. So if people just come to the group and search porn, they got enough reading for a few days. So it's easily the biggest one.
That's good. That's so good.
Yeah. So let's just hit on that. And I have another question, just put you guys on the spot. because I think that people are going to want to get more resources around this. So obviously you guys have the podcast, Kingdom Sexuality. We can find you guys on Instagram. Those are pretty easy. But if they wanted to like join that Facebook group so they could read those questions and answers and stuff, what's the best way to do that?
Just go to Facebook and type in Kingdom Sexuality Community, and then you'll find us pretty quickly. And if you can't find it there, go to our website, and there's a banner to just click and join.
Another kind of fun resource that we have, too, is we have a monthly intimacy club where we send you ways to connect every day. So through an email, there will be like a normal connection and then a way to spice it up. And each month we change what the theme is. So sometimes it's like fun or romance, sex. We've done
spiritual,
physical. Mm-hmm. And so we theme it around that month. And then we get sponsors who also give prizes during that month. So if you're one of our members, it's just a monthly draw that we, so you get prizes and get connected every month.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you would say the website is how I would sign up for that, right?
Yeah.
KingdomSexualityMinistry.com.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask at least this question for the people who are on here. Cause I think that we have given people who are processing like sex and all that kind of stuff. Like we've given them a lot. And I think that even the question I'm about to ask, like people have, we've given them some things, but if you are a parent and you have a middle school or high school or college age, how, just from the conversation you guys are having, what would be the best way to pursue, maybe either starting that conversation or getting that familiarity going so that the parents can be a educated source in the growth of their students in this area?
I mean, we love the birds and the bees. They are... they do a course, but it's mainly teaching when your kids are really little. And so it's just starting the conversation that you can continue to build on. That way it's not just like, oh, I'm sitting down and having the talk now. It just slowly builds more time for the kids to ask more questions. And then as they grow up, it becomes more of a natural conversation. It's not this big, scary topic that we have to somehow tackle through. Mm-hmm.
Right. So like having just like a million conversations over the span, yeah, instead of just one sit down, like, okay, today we're going to talk about sex. It's just like being a place where your child can know that they can come and ask you questions and not feel like embarrassed, yeah, or you're not going to shame them for the questions either, but to know like, hey, that's a great question. And if you don't know the answer, be like, I'll look into that for you. Or let me think about it and get back to you on that. Just, yeah, to be able to like, hey, do you have anything you want to talk to? Like, mm-hmm, I don't know. I think to just let your child know that you are a safe space and you're available to talk to you about whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I think too, in marriages, if you are the couple and you've got middle schoolers or high schoolers, hopefully there is some sort of a foundation laid already, but I would say don't shy away from showing your spouse affection in front of the kids. Show them how much the intimacy, mm-hmm, that you guys have is important. And I think the actions that you guys show in front of your kids can show the importance,
yeah,
of, intimacy in marriage.
Yeah, that it's worth something, mm-hmm, worth something to anticipate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's good. Rachel, we have a daughter that just turned 10. We have two younger boys, but JL, our daughter, this was earlier, so she would have been 9. And Rachel had done something, she had done something with or to the kids. And, I don't know. This may also get me kicked out of the Kingdom Sexuality friend group. But, I was like, hey, would you like me? Cause our kids do get spanking sometimes. I said, does mommy get spanking? And they were like, unanimously, yes. And I said, okay. After I put you guys to bed, I'll give mom her spanking. Well, JL, who said, you're talking about sex, aren't you? And I was like, whoa. And I looked at Rachel.
Well, we are. Yes, we are.
And so So we're living this. And again, like
we're living it out, man. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing in our home.
That's right. So even though, like, I know we've all talked about today, but even that, like, it knotted my stomach up a little bit because you want to do a good job and you want to do all that stuff. So I just want to encourage everybody as we wrap up, just that, you know, don't let the enemy have this one. Don't just because it might be awkward or everybody may fall in a little different like place on openness and stuff like that. Don't let the enemy have this. Let's fight for it in our personal marriage and in our culture. And so, guys, this was a blast. And hopefully we'll have some more conversations in the future. Yeah. But so all of our people, check out Kingdom Sexuality, an amazing resource. But we love you guys, and we believe in your purpose to win the world. And thank you so much, guys, for joining us for this conversation. And we'll see you guys soon.
Hey friends, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you like our content, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, and tell your friends too. Thanks so much for journeying with us today as we tackled the hard questions and dive deep into godly intimacy. Make sure you follow us on Instagram to see more of our content and check the show notes for any links we might have mentioned in today's episode. We're so grateful to be on this journey with you, and we can't wait to see you in the next episode.